Hello, and welcome back to the Gaming Backlog Book Club. Reminder, we do go into spoilers eventually here, so if you want to avoid that, start at one of our previous episodes, play along, and come back to this one once you're caught up. Where did you go first as pilot of the airship, Alex?
Ooh, as part of the airship, where'd I go first? I can't remember exactly where I went first. I think mainly I flew it around for a little bit, just enjoying the
Just for
controls
fun.
of
Yeah,
flying it around and
for sure.
watching the little like airship blip on the map move around. And then just landing it. I think I just kind of landed in different spots at first to just level up for a little bit there.
Grind a little bit.
I was just grinding for a bit. So that's kind of how I just started on the, was it the Blackjack
Yeah, which
airship?
I believe I saw that mentioned online. I don't know that it's actually referenced at any point by anyone, not even shoot
Not even
wise
Setzer.
wise. Cesar, I don't think
Setzer
he
the
ever says
captain.
the name of his ship, but I did see online it's supposedly called the Blackjack. I mean, which could make sense. His main attack is using playing cards
I was gonna
and a
say, and he
slot
has a
machine.
It's like a casino built in on board as well.
He does, yeah. He has a casino. I was expecting to see something happen on that, and nothing really did.
No.
Guy knows how to have a good time, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, I guess I remember last time, I guess I grabbed a party of the characters I hadn't been using for the previous hour or two of gameplay to try to catch them up in levels a bit. So I similarly was doing a bit of grinding, but I ended up just landing in at Narsh first. And grinded a little bit around there and was just trying to get the other characters going because I was just so focused on the one group for so long.
Yeah, same.
When you went to Narsh, did you check all the buildings after Bannon told you the plan?
I believe so. I don't know
Like,
why I'm like
yeah, I
blanking
mean,
right now, but yeah, I'm pretty sure I went through all
well,
the buildings.
as I mentioned this, it might may or may not ring bells for you. So, and this is the thing that I, especially after just stumbling upon this, realizing I need to do this everywhere, no matter what, because we've already been to Narsh multiple times. Maybe that your first thought isn't, oh, you should go check out everything, like the shops, yeah, because you want to see if they've got new weapons or items or whatever, but not every single building. But so I did just randomly. And did you happen to run into a wolf man?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It just
Okay.
like it. Yeah. It
It
came to my
popped
mind.
in. There you
Yes.
go.
I
It
did all
worked.
this.
So you ran into a wolf man named Lone Wolf, stealing something from a chest. And then when you walk out of the building, he kind of like jumps up in surprise, I guess. And which indicates, right, that you should chase him down. And so it just keeps, multiple scenes keep happening. It takes you all the way through the caves again, back up to the cliff where the Esper is, and he has a Moogle hostage. And once it wakes up, they get into a bit of a scuffle, and both, similar to when our party was attacked by the Esper, the two of them get scattered to almost fall off on opposite sides of the cliff. And then the lone wolf says something about not giving you the gold hairpin, which later you realize is the item he stole from that chest. And you could recover it by going to him. Did you choose him or the Moogle?
No, I chose the Moogle.
Okay. Okay, I played 10 when it came out. You need to remind me what you're talking about.
I played 10, was it not that long ago? Well, like now, a few months
Yeah,
ago.
a couple months, yeah.
Yeah, but they had all the Moogles in there. So it's just like when I saw a Moogle again, like I see him in this.
No, yeah,
Yeah, I
okay.
was just like, I just go. I was like, oh, I love those little guys. So I just went and saved him.
Koopo, Yeah, okay. So then you had the same experience, which is great because it turns out he's a potential party member. And something tells me if you went to go, I guess not save, but save the item from the wolf, you probably might lose out on Mog. The name of this Moogle, which is the name of most Moogles, I think, in mainline Final Fantasy. So that was a nice surprise.
Yeah, it was. I like Mog too. I used him for a
Yeah.
little bit after.
And yes, I mean, same. I think that the funniest part of that whole interaction, though, is that you save the Mog, And of course, the lone wolf decides to escape by jumping off the cliff instead of escaping the other way. So yeah, that's a choice. But I'm definitely a fan of Mog. I think
yes,
I put him into my party immediately. So, you know, because the next step is to go find the sealed gate to the Esper world. I brought Terra since she's required. Also brought Saban, who I wanted to catch up with the leveling, and I just still love the fighting game inputs of his blitz attacks. And then, yeah, my two kind of weirdo pseudo blue mages, Gao and Mog. I'm definitely a fan of Mog's dance moves.
Yeah, dance moves are good. The wind one, the wind dance was good.
There's the wind dance. It's just so funny to me that they incorporated a mechanic where he's kind of clumsy, and so he'll stumble like a quarter of the time, it seems like, and just not do anything.
Yeah.
Which is like a little frustrating in a fight, but then also it's not that consequential, so it's just kind of goofy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get to the sealed gate, right? And the cave on the way there was kind of full of lava. It had these weird bridge traps that, instead of insta-killing you because, you know, it's lava, they just push you to the start of the area. And they have... The caves are full of undead dragon heads. Did you take advantage of the holy waters?
I did. I tried that once. And then there was something else I did, too, that killed him almost instantly. I know, I can't remember. But yeah, I did. I did do a holy... Yeah, I think I used the holy water once or twice on them after you had told me about that.
It's still a good, useful move.
Yeah, it is.
It's always exciting also to get like a insta-kill or a two-hit kill on anything that looks kind of so scary like that.
Yes, it is. Because they can do some damage, so...
Oh, yeah. Those guys especially do a ton.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we get to the end of, or get through the caves, you're on the bridge, and then we have another Kefka face-off, but we're back to his pixel art being goofy rather than that all-out kind of drawn image of him like most of the bosses. So they keep, I don't know if they're alternating, but it definitely seems to be more like a, when it's a real fight, they use his like well-drawn image. And when it's more of a story continuation fake fight, they're using the pixel art.
They're using the pixel art, yeah.
That's kind of what I've gathered so far. Not sure that it means anything at the end of the day, but it is funny that they've alternated between those for just for him.
Yes.
And then, yeah. There are espers on the loose after all this because we open the gate and they are angry.
They are extremely angry.
Which, it's understandable when you consider all of the history, except for the fact that, you know, we didn't do anything wrong, us personally, but they attacked us and the airship crash lands before we have a chance to really use it all that much. So just like that, they sweep it out from you.
I know, I liked it too.
I mean, yeah, you get so much enjoyment out of being able to go literally anywhere you want in about 5 seconds. And
yeah.
And it's gone.
Yes.
And, you know, continuing on from there, there's a bit of an unusual kind of sequence of events that happens after you crash land. You get over back to Vector, and the Emperor Gestal is devastated by the attacks and supposedly has a change of heart, calls off the war, imprisons Kefka for poisoning that city Doma way at the beginning, and he gives you 4 minutes. Don't know why they do it like this, but they give you 4 minutes to convince as many of his soldiers as possible that they should also be against the war now.
Yes.
It seems kind of arbitrary, but hey, that's our mission, so just kind of randomly run around and talk to all the guards.
Yeah, you're gonna, yeah. And then there's a couple of them that when you talk to them, they attack you instead.
Oh yeah, they want to fight.
They're
instead.
Very quite easy fights now at that point.
But it's I just remember I don't know. He's trying to skip over the items and like hoping you get a chance to go find them or open them later, which you do, but a 4-minute race is not with fights mixed in is kind of just an interesting choice. And, you know, then you get invited to join a banquet feast.
Mm-hmm.
And the four of your party sit on one side of the table with, what's the guy's name? Leo, General Leo.
General Leo, yeah. And Sid.
Was he there? That's a good question. Don't remember.
I think he was.
And the emperor just asks you a bunch of questions and then lets you ask a bunch of questions, which has some good story revealing moments to it, but also turned out to have a hidden point system behind it that you don't find out about until after the thing is done. And yeah, once you're ready to leave his lackey gives you a bunch of stuff based on how you did. And so at that point, I'm just like, no, I don't think it's worth it to go and like restart the save and try to do it better or faster or something else. But it is, you know, it's nice of the emperor that he let Figaro and one other town be free again. But everyone in our party is still suspicious of him. So by default, I am too.
Oh, yeah. Very suspicious of him. He's quite shady. He just seems shady.
It is crazy how a handful of pixels and some text can make you understand that sense of shadiness for a character.
I think it's also the way I read it in my head.
That is true, yeah. Do you read everything with a British voice?
No, I don't know. I think sometimes I have voice, like, this is going to make me sound crazy. Like, each character to me like has like a little different voice, obviously. Slightly, when I read it. Not fully, but...
refine those a bit, and next time you'll have to read a line from all the characters.
Yeah, maybe I will.
So you get the points, you get some items, he frees some towns, super shaky, definitely a front for something. But without our airship, we don't have any options to go over to where we need to be. So we basically have to take him up on the offer of shuttling us to Crescent Island on his Magitek armored transport ship. And, you know, nothing bad happened the last time Tara was in a Magitek armor. And, you know, you're riding across on the boat. Your party meets together. Locke and Celis have some serious bottled up tension that neither of them wants to talk about at the same time. And Tara asks General Leo if he thinks she can ever be loved. He says, yes, of course, but I'm curious if they were trying to set up a potential romance there, since his response also included that she'll find it someday, but she said she wanted it now, right after he walked away. She waited for him to walk away. So, especially right after seeing the Celis Locke thing, it's almost like, oh, they're trying to turn this into a soap opera of some sort.
It seemed that way. Yes.
Which, I don't know, I guess we already had a real opera in this thing, so why not a soap opera too? And then, of course, on top of all that, Shadow was eavesdropping like any good ninja does, and Locke pops up for some comic relief by being seasick and peeking over the side into the ocean.
I'm not going to lie, that's actually, I will give like the credit for the artist and the pixel art of that, like being able to make it so you actually really like know what he's doing by like his facial expression and his little motion just through little pixels. I actually laughed a little bit out loud at that. I thought it was quite funny.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, it's legitimately high skill and a true kind of piece of art, right? If you can generate a visible emotion out of, I don't know how many pixels are in a single character, but good job.
I know. And this is when did this game come out?
96 it was, 96?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah. It's impressive because, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good job. Good job all around.
I know.
The artists here are killing it. And I don't know if I had mentioned it already, but the backgrounds in the battle scenes are typically really detailed and look great. Like, because I think they're static images anyway, but they did a really good job of like providing high detailed background image and just pixels.
Yeah, they did.
And then there's like the crazy waterfall one and those kinds of other unusual versions too. But just the static backgrounds are sweet. Anyway, so after Locke finishes vomiting everything, then we get to the island and we go to Tamasa, believe is the name of the town.
Thamasa, Tamasa. I don't know if it's the TH as in a the or T.
I think aside from the most obvious ones, we're just winging it on all these pronunciations, as you know, most people do with anything fantasy related. But so you get to Thamasa, and everyone is lying about not knowing anything about magic or espers, and it just being a plain, boring town. But then once Realm ends up in a flaming house, they reveal that they can all control magic. And then, for whatever reason, the Eye of Sauron decided to come down from his tower and just terrorize a random little village, as he's the main boss in that house, the burning house. But that's what came to mind when I saw that. I don't know about you.
The little Eye of Sauron.
It was called.
I agree. Yes, it does. Yes, it does look like it's the Eye of Sauron.
Yeah. But always watching, always attacking little kids.
This thing, Saddleman and everybody else.
And despite the fact that he deals some solid fire damage, I felt he was pretty easy to take out. I don't know who you had in your party at that point, which actually probably makes a difference, but Strago was in the party, right? Who's the kind of old man.
I don't think you could pick your party. I think this was three that you had to have.
All right.
I think Tara Locke and Strago.
Nope, you must be right. Yep, because that's exactly who I had with me.
Yeah, I think it's locked. I think it's locked on those three.
So it was. I mean, it was pretty easy. I don't know if you used. I guess Strago's special attacks are called lores. So he had an aqua breath, which is aqua kind of breath, a little clear, not subtle at all hint of what you should use against a fireball.
It destroyed all of the fireballs, and then the.
But between the aqua breath lore and just using the blizzard magic attack, yeah, kind of.
Oh, I have with Terra, I have Blizzara. One above.
I don't think I had it at that point. I had it on some other character.
I have a few. I have Blizzara. I have the Fira, the Fira one. So like I'd use those for more.
Yeah, and I think that the way that you learn new magic in this I guess side note here is. Kind of confusing, not confusing because it seems like you equip an Esper and you learn magic by going through fights while having the Esper equipped. So like, and everyone can learn every magic, but it seems different from some of the other Final Fantasies I've played where like you can unlock Blizzaga and Firaga, which I think are the third tier.
Those are the third higher. Yeah,
but they're not in the list of the Esper. So I don't, maybe we just need to find another Esper that has that third tier at some point. But I'm surprised that it's not just like a stat, like Shiva just doesn't give you Blizzard, Blizzard, Blizzaga.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out. I'm assuming because there's already the Aura level, there's going to be an Aga level.
I would assume so. Yeah, I just got them through. I actually didn't even think about they were connected to the Espers. I just got it from, I was just, I felt like grinding after some battles. It would say like at the end.
It just auto unlocks it.
Yeah, like Terra learned Fira, blah, blah, like Locke learned Blizzard. And just it would just say stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is still connected to the Esper and you just had the right Esper on.
Maybe. Yeah, it might be.
But yeah, I mean, it's easy to take out some fireballs with some water and ice attacks.
Water and ice, yeah, it was much easier.
It was interesting in this particular level too, and I guess the only other place I remember it happening is the defending Narsh war battle where you actually see the enemies on screen and it's not just a random pop out because that whole house was full of fireballs.
Which
is very much how it worked in Chrono Trigger, and I don't recall when that came out originally, but interesting that it was used kind of sparingly here, but for very specific moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meanwhile, you're in this whole fight, and Shadow's dog, Interceptor, which is a great name still, took a liking to Realm and helps you find her in the Blazing House. Gotta love a dog companion. I just wish we could bring him more often.
I do too. He's actually pretty powerful. When he attacks, he is. Yeah. When Shadow sends him out, he's strong.
And Shadow ends up saving everyone as well. So, hey, he's a pretty convenient ninja to have around.
He is.
in the Esper Caves, as Strago explains, the Triad does a bit of a lore dump. You know, the Triad created magic in the world and created the Espers before just being getting over all the fighting and making themselves into statues, which is weird. Don't have any better way to describe that. As he's doing that and you're in this cave, Ultros pops back in as what has to be one of the best, and maybe the only one that I can think of, one of the best recurring comic relief boss fights ever.
Yes, it's so weird because you're reading it and it's reading comically and funny, and then I'm like looking at him and I'm like, this thing is terrifying with his giant ass teeth, and like, it's just so weird. Yeah,
it's like, I don't know if uncanny is the right word for it. I mean, and it's not so creepy to be like Cthulhu style.
Yeah.
But it's just like, honestly, it's like what I would expect if it turned into an octopus and then decided to crack some jokes at a stand-up comedy show.
I agree.
Instead of terrorizing you. It's a really weird design.
It is.
But he's just such a good recurring comic relief boss that doesn't really hurt all that much. And better yet, we got him twice in quick succession this week.
Yeah, we did.
But so, you know, basically halfway through that fight, Realm pops in to join our party after it was very strongly hinted, considering she's being following us around throughout the entire cave.
Mm-hmm.
Her sketch ability is interesting because it basically just copies. It's like Ditto from Pokemon. It just copies the enemy's attacks and uses it on them, from what I can gather. But I didn't find it all that great so far. It one hit killed Ultros, but after that, it's pretty puny.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm not gonna lie. After this battle, I haven't even thrown her in a party.
Me neither. Me neither. You know.
Yeah.
Seems weak overall. I mean, maybe there's some use for her eventually, but so far I haven't had much need to.
No.
But yeah, you know, knock out Ultros, and then surprise, surprise, we get back to town and Gastol was lying to our faces the whole time.
Yep. Knew he was shady.
On top of that, they kill Leo.
Yeah, that was Kefka. Kefka is, for being a little pixel animated jester, is like one of the most evil characters ever. Dude just kills thrives, everybody.
Thrives on chaos and hatred, mostly for no reason.
I know. It's
like he's just a douche.
He really is.
Yeah, they kill Leo, and you know what sucks too, because I for a second right there when he was just crushing enemies, I thought Leo was going to join our party.
That would have been nice.
Because he's super strong.
Yeah, he's like level 42.
It might have been a little overpowered, but I would have taken it. Same. Why not? Same. He would be good in the fight against Kefka, but I guess at the same time, maybe not, because he got quickly destroyed by him. And okay, so the you get back onto the airship, and the Air Force, I think the enemy is called the Air Force. It's like this weird, creepy, mutated jet thing.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember this? Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah. You mean...
So first you fight, you know, that seemed to make more sense to me, right? You're fighting against a jet while you're on a ship.
Yeah.
Cool. That was right after the fight where Ultros pops back in and he has this weird, weird deformed friend of his along for the ride too.
Yeah. First you fight Ultros and what was his friend's name? It is, I actually have it here in front of me. It is Typhoon. Ultros and Typhoon.
Yeah. I couldn't quite make out what Typhoon was supposed to be.
But Typhoon is resistant to fire. He heals. So his name's Typhoon. But yet if you hit him with a fire attack, he gains health.
Yeah, odd choice there.
Yeah, you have to like swap it up.
Yeah.
Wait, am I having that right? Or is Ultros the one to fire? No. Pretty sure it was him.
I think you're right. I don't quite remember.
I don't know. I took him out pretty quick.
It's just weird to see, you know, the It Octopus and whatever the hell type
is actually supposed to be
just floating in the air.
Yeah, he's even more horrifying than Ultros.
and then Air Force pops in right afterwards.
Yes.
And it was a really weird kind of abstract portrayal of a jet, but, you know, he wasn't too tough, I guess.
It took me a couple tries. It annoyed me a little bit, but because, like, obviously I'd had a little bit of damage done to me, so you're, like, trying to heal up on a couple turns and also attacking.
A series of multiple boss fights in a row is kind of not ideal.
And then, like, he can go sometimes, like, at least two times in a row because it's, like, each arm and then sometimes his body. So I died a couple times. I lost a couple times to him. And then I realized I started off by just doing high dense attacks with, I think I had Gao in my party there. Gao, Terra, and maybe Edgar? I don't know. I don't know if you had to have Locke. Maybe you had to have Terra. It was Terra, Locke, and Gao. But I was just aimed specifically for the arms to start. Took those two off and then was able to sort of go for the main body.
Yeah, I typically just go for, especially when using magic, I'll just go for the multi-target ones.
I was doing that with the magic. I have, for Terra, I have her, she has like a lightning sword that does multiple, it could hit and then a lightning strike can come down and do even more damage. So sometimes I do the physical with her on that. But then with Gao, I use Cloud, and I target all enemies.
Cloud is a lightning attack, yeah.
Yeah, it does the whatever, light, like Tara or whatever. Yeah, and it does. It can do a lot of damage. That's actually how I beat it. I think I lost, if it is Locke, I think you have to have Terra and Locke. Locke, I think, was out. Terra was almost dead. And then Gao was about a quarter health left on this for me. And he was able to just get off a last little whatever lightning strike and kill it, and I was like, oh thank god.
And you see how quickly you can go to the menu and heal up.
Yeah, basically.
Yep. So heal up, and then and boy are we lucky we have access to an airship, huh? Because at this point the ground on the earth splits and people start falling into the, like, straight out of a bad Hollywood natural disaster movie about earthquakes. And for whatever reason, we end up on the floating continent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I guess I'll preface this by saying, in this very specific context of where we are, the floating continent is very lame for the world itself, but it provides us, the player, with a very nice view of the world below.
Yes, it does.
And the airship is, I don't know if you noticed this, but as you're wandering around the floating continent, you can actually see at one point the airship just kind of hovering below the continent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can jump back on it.
Yeah.
I jump back on it, and then I realize that when you come back off of it, it puts you right back at the
beginning. Yep.
Yeah, that was
so. I only did that once. I mean, I guess the airship couldn't pop back into the hole that you jumped through.
No.
Either way, you know, when you first land on the floating continent, you find out that, of course, on top of betraying Leo, they betrayed Shadow too.
Yes.
Granted, he's a hired mercenary assassin, so even less loyalty to him than their, like, lead general, but it's still rude. And nice to know, at least about Shadow's character, that he still asks first about his dog before anything else.
Before
what an upstanding assassin. Never heard those two words in the same sentence. And yeah, I mean, you work your way through, there's a handful of enemies, and you get to what kind of looks like a rat on the overworld, but is not. It's Ultima Weapon.
Ultima Weapon.
And Ultima Weapon kind of looks like those lion BTs in Death Stranding.
That's a good point.
That's the vibe that he gave to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
And boy, does he take a beating before going down.
Yeah, he does. I'll only talk about how you fought him.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take a moment here to sing the praises of the Reflect Ring relic.
Mm-hmm.
Those things kind of just in general save me constantly. I think in that fight I had them equipped on every person in my party.
Oh, lucky.
And I typically will unequip them from people I'm taking out of my party when I'm changing parties out and put them onto the new people. I I guess just about the reflect ring, I don't love that when you use magic on yourself, it ends up bouncing. I mean, I guess it bounced back to whoever you're using it on. Or using it from. But anyway, it's very useful as a defense against magic users, so I'm a huge fan of those things. And then I used a bit of Terra's trance attack, and I think it was something I just kind of experimented, and I found one called Rasp, which looks like it kind of drains MP from the enemy, and mostly just that ended up killing Ultima Weapon.
Yeah, so I remember you told me about this because I texted you saying, like, oh, I fought him a couple times and I hadn't got through him yet. I was going to keep trying. I knew about the Reflect Ring. I had a Reflect Ring on Terra, but I didn't realize I had a second one in my inventory, and I put it on. I had Strago in my party. I think, who did you have? I had Terra, Strago, Shadow, and I want to say, yeah, it must have been Gao. Yeah. I think those are the four I had.
No, I had Terra, Locke, Gao, and I want to say Mog.
You didn't have Shadow? You must have had Shadow. You had to have Shadow. You have to have Shadow. Shadow was on the island. You pick him up.
Oh, you're right. I did have Shadow. Maybe it was Gao and Shadow. But I had Locke. I used Locke to steal all kinds of stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I guess for some reason I ended up giving him the right Esper combo that he picked up some strong magic, so he's actually not useless anymore as a fighter.
Oh, good.
But yeah, that was who I was using, and it seemed pretty effective, I guess, by some degree of luck.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of trance. Terra's trance is solid.
Yeah, as I was going to say, you told me about Rasp. I didn't have Rasp with her. I don't even know how you get it.
Yeah, Rasp is by equipping some Esper. I don't remember which Esper it is, but I've got a bunch of Espers.
Yeah, I have a few of them. I have quite a few, but...
Did you buy... I'm just thinking about the ones that are harder to... that aren't like an automatic story-related Esper pickup. Did you get the ones at the auction?
No. I did not do that.
They were super expensive. It was like 10,000 and 20,000, I think, but I had enough cash from all the grinding that I do. So I was like, well, I don't know if I'm ever going to see these again. So I picked up two from there. I don't know if maybe one of those gave me a Rasp. I don't remember where it came from. But that thing was useful.
Yeah. No, I bet. But yeah, I ended up putting one Reflect Ring on Terra. Then I didn't realize I had a second one. So after I had died a couple times, I went back and like looked and made some changes. And I put a second Reflect Ring on Strago. And then I changed a couple other little bits of the, not heirlooms, what are they called?
Relics.
Relics, thank you. No, I can't think of the word. I took off something off Shadow that gave him haste, but I changed it to something else that either gave him a little more defense or gave him, I think it was something that maybe reflects, not reflects,
like
but
a counterattack.
Yeah, sort of counterattack type thing. So I did that. But then with, as you said, with Terra, I did Trance. Then I had Fera, which destroyed. And then with Gao, I used Bomb.
Oh, yeah, Bomb.
So
is
he
awesome.
Did Blaze, and it was doing like 2,000 damage every time. It was destroying with Gao. Because I have Gao at like 25, 26. Yeah, he was...
I think Gao's not on top of being the strongest character already. I think he's the highest level for me.
Mm-hmm. Probably is for me. I think him and Terra might be tied for me.
Bomb and Stray Cat and... what was it? Templar Knight might be my best ones.
I still don't have Stray Cat, and yet I've fought Stray Cats, but it won't let me leap.
But I think you can only...
Can you only leap in the Veld?
You can only leap in the Veld.
Maybe that's why. Okay.
That's why.
But I have like, Chloe, close to 20 different attacks with him though. Okay. So like I found...
The like, list is hard to sift through.
Yeah. Cloud that does the lightning strikes is really good. Then Bomb for the Blaze. And then Hornet something does really well. I think it's called Hornet.
Oh, you mentioned that last time. Yeah. I don't think I've tried that one.
There's a couple
Templar
others.
Knight does something that I think was electric attack.
Yeah,
he's solid which, too.
And then with Strago, I know he had Aqua Breath, so I used Aqua Breath a couple times. But then also he has Stone, which can do a good amount of damage. So I used that. And then there was a lot of times with the Reflect where Ultima Weapon was trying to hit me and it just reflected off of me and went right back to him. And actually, it happened a lot more than I thought it would. Like Reflect.
He didn't learn himself.
I would say it gave me about a 75% of the time it reflected instead of me taking damage. And I'll say I probably got lucky in that. Like, it's just luck of the draw that it just decided, the game decided it's going to reflect instead of go through.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I took him out and I don't even know. We were probably turn 7 or 8, maybe. And he was already dead. And he has like 24,000 health. Yeah, he went down so fast.
He figured out the right combo.
Yeah, I did. So
I will say, I've settled into a rhythm of basically seeing what a boss is all about. And if I can't just brute force my way through and just tank through their damage to beat them or luck out with my default loadout, I just really take note of what status effects they inflict and the resistances that they have. And then if I die, I'll swap out my relic loadout to counter whatever the hell it is, and then usually breeze through the next time around. So it's like most of these bosses have a very specific combo of things that do extra damage. Like some normal other things can work, but there's things that like just destroy them. And it's kind of all about finding out what it is. I guess that's kind of the name of the game in a JRPG, but
yeah, definitely.
This is one of the ones that invented that playbook, so.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But okay, so you know we've knocked off Ultima Weapon now. Did you pick up the Ultima Sword?
So I already had an Ultima Sword.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, no, I'm not. It wasn't here, but it was just like we picked up the Ultima Sword or Ultima Weapon previously, which was kind of it's like, oh, that's a cool name, and then you come and fight Ultima Weapon.
Yeah, I didn't have.
You could theoretically fight Ultima Weapon with Ultima Weapon.
Yeah, I didn't have, though. What was it? Someone has it for me. I think it might be Edgar, might be Karen, but I didn't have him on my team. So It's either Edgar or Cyan, but I think it's Edgar.
And yeah, like literally on the platform right past Ultima Weapon, we just walk up some steps and then Kefka gets the power of the Warring Triad by pushing some statues around.
Yep.
And he decides to kill Gestal.
I know, dude. Again,
he's just double crossing left and right, even though he was part of the plan. But no, he just had his own plan the whole time. No surprise. So we know at this point, right? He's killed Gestal. He's moving these statues around and flashing screens and all that. We know at this point things are about to take a turn for the worse. But it doesn't really tell you what. And then we get flung away. Shadow holds back Kefka by kind of cramming him in with more, like surrounding him with statues. To buy us time to escape, and we go and fight some weird magic lady before jumping to the airship. Did anything notable happen for you at this point?
Well, no, I'll just say though, for the magic lady, she was kind of pain. I think I died once or twice to her because she was reflecting everything I was throwing at her, like everything. And then the time I beat her, I still don't know how this happened or how I beat her, because she puts Doom on you, like to start. And all of a sudden, she was doing Doom or she was doing something, and it said on my screen, like, roulette. Oh. And it was picking who the hell it was going to, like, do it on, and then it picked her.
And then she instantly died.
Yeah. Just doomed herself, I think, and instantly died. I was like, oh, thank God, I'm done. And this is where I'm happy I have the pixel. I instantly hit quick save.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay. And then I moved on.
So I'll say, if it weren't for the fact that it did not happen to me, I would say that sounds like a scripted moment. And it would have been a pretty cool scripted moment, to be honest. Like, she kills off 3 of your party members and then dooms herself. But no, okay, wow, no. I mostly just use physical attacks and a shitload of healing items.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, so So you get past her and then you get ready to jump. And I was like, wait a minute, did I forget anything? And then go to jump off again. And instead of, what was it, the no option? It said, yes, jump to the airship, or no, wait for Shadow.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah, I hit wait.
Okay. I waited. I feel like that's important because he might have just died on the floating continent if not.
No, I waited. And
then you literally just wait.
I just waited. Yeah, I think it's like waiting until, I don't even know how many seconds are left, and then Shadow just shows up automatically.
Fortunately, they give you a counter on the screen, because otherwise if you're just waiting aimlessly, then I think it would have been kind of miserable, and I probably would have given up and bailed.
Yeah.
But, okay, so hopefully we, come across Shadow again. But basically, you jump onto the airship and then the screen goes black and a whole lot of stuff happens off screen apparently after we reach the airship, because we just get this ominous message on the dark screen. It says, on that day, the world was changed forever.
Yep.
And that made me think, that's the type of moment where a more modern game could totally incorporate a twist for the sake of a twist, like so many TV shows and movies seem to do these days. Like, it could have sprung us with a title screen indicating that we just played, what we just played was only the prologue.
That would be nuts.
Or even more intense, it could have had a Star Wars intro rolling bit of text explaining how the world changed for the worse and then just said, the end. And got into the actual game credits. That would have been dark. I don't know if that's darker than what actually is happening, though. Because, tangent aside, we're now in the world of Ruin, apparently, where the world was torn apart. Thanks a lot, Kefka.
Yep, thank you, Kefka.
And were you as shocked as I was to find out that Celis has been knocked out for a full year?
Yeah. I was...
That sounds to me like a coma, not being asleep and recovering.
No. She's definitely in.
They didn't phrase it very well.
Yeah.
That just might be a translation thing, but you don't sleep for a year. You're in a coma for a year.
She's also lucky that...
Yeah, she happened to end up on the same island as Cid, who's been taking care of her the whole time, and then...
Yeah, and then he let her in the bed instead of just burying her after however many months.
Yeah.
Not waking.
Yeah, the one bed in the building. And even more so, he happens to be her grandpa.
Her grandpa. Yeah, was not.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he looked like a guy with a mustache, not a, 80-year-old.
He didn't look that old. He does not look that old.
This is, I suppose, where modern graphics would help us realize what the pixel art couldn't.
Yeah, but then, when you hit pause, or when you're in, your what's it been, you can see, Strago. Is it Strago? Strago.
No, Strago looks like does look old. You have a point
he
there.
He looks like he's almost in his 90s. He looks like...
I do realize, Cid came from the Esper research facility, and he's a scientist with a hazmat suit on and whatnot. But ever since the first one when I saw him up until now, I always just thought he was wearing, this weird chicken suit.
I could see that.
Because it's just all yellow with the red.
It's all yellow.
And I don't know. It's an odd choice. But yeah, okay. Cid just says, I'm actually feeling kind of tired or whatever. If we find out
he wasn't feeling well.
Yeah. He explains, okay, we're stuck on a small island and the rest of the people on our island kill themselves by jumping off the cliffs. But Cid's not feeling great, so maybe he's going to be the first one to not jump off the cliff to die. And our next mission is to catch some fish to give Cid some food. I caught the fish, but didn't bring it to him. And at that point, right, this was the point where we were meant to save and quit, but had to leave the map with the house on it to the overworld to save and quit, because you can't save within the towns, at least in the version that I'm in. And yeah, the preview of what's next is not exactly pleasant. The ocean is red. In the overworld, everything is barren and earth-colored with hardly any vegetation or green.
Okay. I saved inside the house. Okay. After talking to Cid, I just saved and stopped inside the house. So I haven't even gone out and got a fish or anything.
Good for you. I only left to save. And I thought where I was going was actually to go to the overworld to save, but it was the beach. So I just grabbed the fish because they were right there.
Okay.
And then popped out to the overworld, and yep, it's not looking very nice out there, but even so, I can't wait to see what's going on.
Yeah. It'll be, I don't know. I feel like, Kefka now is going to be, I feel like he's going to be even scarier, creepier looking. I'm curious on if his pixel, because like he's all red and blue, like the color of like Jester's, if he's going to be like darker colors, like purple, because it's a world of ruin and a darker. I think it'd be cool if they changed his pixel colors.
I'd be curious to see if he's actually just like a demon in disguise.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably a good take. He probably is.
And that's all, folks, for this week.
Yes, it is.
So for next time, to keep this as vague as humanly possible yet again, thanks to our spoiler-free source of info that has helped us break this game into reasonable chunks, our goal was to play until you acquire a new airship. So once you find a new airship, save and quit and hang on for next time.
Yeah, we're looking forward to playing the next part, and thank you all for continuing along with us on Final Fantasy VI, and hope you're enjoying it as well, and maybe having a easier time than myself against Ultima and some other bosses, or also just like us finding Kefka just as creepy and horrifying as he is.
Yeah, give us your hot take on Kefka.
Dude's a psychopath. He's one of the biggest psychopaths that I've actually seen in a video game, and it's weird because it's like a pixel character.
Right.
But
yeah. In fact, correction, if you have a hot take about Kefka, then you are also a psychopath.
So, but yeah,
it's the only opinion anyone should have about him.
I know. He is.
Yeah. Maybe at the end of this thing, we should try to see if any major game villain can even come close.
There's a part of me. I was like, while I've been playing this, trying to think, is I was like, this guy has done a lot, killed a lot of people already.
And we're only getting started.
Yeah. And has no. Doesn't show any remorse.
He literally just destroyed the world, and we'll see what else he can come up with.
Yeah.
He's creative. I'll give him that.
Oh yeah, definitely. But yes, thank you everybody for following along with us, and looking forward to getting through to this next part here, to where we acquire another airship, and we will talk to you about it in the next episode. So thank you for listening, and have a good one. If you want to follow along and discuss our playthrough of Knave Games on the Gaming Backlog Book Club podcast, please give us a follow on your podcast platform of choice. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Pocket Casts, as well as our Discord and Instagram under the same name. Thanks.